Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. We've got Adrian Dater, our Avalanche insider, is going to be joining us here in a few minutes, live from the bubble in Edmonton. Here's your questions from Josh, and this is, as always, presented by Breaks Plus. Why exactly does Philip Lindsay act like he's some elite running back? Mark, he's good, not even great.
Well, I would argue that Philip is an exceptional player. I mean, for a small guy, his power ratio is, it's shocking to players, I think, how powerful he can be running the football between the tackles, how explosive he is. Does he need to have a better, like, ability to catch the ball in the backfield? Yes, I think he needs to improve that part of his game. I believe that he has worked very hard to improve that part of his game. And I understand, you know, going back to his first touchdown his rookie year in Seattle, in Denver, his first touchdown ever was off he's just out in the flat. So, I would argue that Philip Lindsay's an outstanding player.
My argument would be, let's not slight Lindsay. Let's just slight the fact that he hasn't been used, I think, enough. And he hasn't had enough talent around him for him to really reach his potential. And I'm getting a lot of this on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. You know, the notion that, don't make such a big deal about him rushing for 1,000 yards. That's like 62 yards per game. Okay, that's fair. I mean, that's math. That's true. But here's a guy who averages almost 5 yards per carry in his career. Okay?
Right.
5 yards per carry in his career. He scored 16 touchdowns running the football in 2 years. What I see is not just some average back who's overrated. I see a guy who is capable of doing a lot more if given the opportunity and if he had a better offense around him. I mean, this is a guy who on a offense that has been absolutely, you know, bereft of talent and difference makers over the last few years, still has managed to average 5 yards per carry and score 16 touchdowns. I mean, that's saying something.
Right. And on top of that, you mentioned the talent around him. He did it with Case Keenum playing quarterback, Joe Flacco playing quarterback, Allentown playing quarterback, and the last, you know, five games of last year, Drew Lock playing quarterback. Did I miss anybody? Did anybody other than Keenum play that? I know that
ball security is job security.
I know that who's the guy that got caught with and chased out of the house with a vacuum tube? Who's faster than any quarterback?
That'd be Chad Kelly.
Yeah, Chad Kelly. I know Chad Kelly took a snap in one game. But I don't think he got any legitimate reps that Keenum year, right? Took a snap at the end of the Rams, at the end of the first half against the Rams, I believe. But yeah, I'm with you. Average 5 yards a carry or close to 5 yards a carry and put the production he's put up on that offense that's had 17 points a game, that's got no legitimate passing threat, that leads the league in three and outs. Come on now. That's had five different coordinators in 5 years? But it's I'm sure it's Philip Lindsay's fault.
I raised my eyebrows a bit when you said exceptional. But I just raised my eyebrows a bit. I didn't send a text in like this one. Exceptional? WTF? OMG. I'm turning this bleep off. Mark has officially lost it. Oof.
Yeah.
Apparently that texter did not agree with your exceptional description.
Okay, well then,
come up with a different adjective.
Oh, okay, what is he? He's the
good.
Thank you, Vance. I just don't.
Well, in this case, I do agree with Vance. He's good.
He is.
But I think he's capable of more.
He's not tall.
That's true, too, Vance. I do. Man, Vance is just spitting out knowledge today.
I agree with you that he's capable.
Mike, I really don't care.
I agree. He's capable of a lot more. Like, this comes down to the same problem I've had with Broncos country not wanting to assess blame where blame is due. Like, you wanna discredit what Philip Lindsay's been able to accomplish and say that Philip Lindsay is the problem, or Philip Lindsay isn't good enough, or Philip Lindsay is just an average player, as opposed to looking at all the decisions that have been made around Philip Lindsay.
Yes.
Philip Lindsay's one of your best offensive players on your roster. Has been for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Since you signed him as a free agent. But you don't want to accept that. Because somehow accepting that is basically placing blame where blame is actually due.
Josh wrote back. He said, I'm not trying to slight him. I'm just saying if he wasn't a hometown buff, people would not fight so hard to label him great.
One, you know that I don't care about college football. I don't care about the fact. I don't care if he
unless
played.
Unless he played at Idaho.
Right. Exactly. Unless he was one of the two guys in the league that played at Idaho. I mean, I just don't care about college football. I don't care where Philip Lindsay came from. To say that Philip Lindsay hasn't been one of the most dynamic players on your offense. Now, if you want to say that Philip Lindsay is overrated, if that's what you want to say, then you have to point to John Elway and the rest of the organization and say that they have done a really poor job of building an offensive football team. Because there's no question that Philip Lindsay is one of your most dynamic players.
Well, you might say, you might be critical of John Elway, not me.
I hate Elway with my heart.
That's edited. No. Bonus question mark right here. Mark, this is regarding our T-shirt toss giveaway tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, would Paxton Lynch even be able to toss the shirt into the window, or would he sail it over the car? And Mark's is on.
It does. Uninterrupted.
Day number 2038 of the Paxton Lynch smear campaign.
Could he throw it through the window? They always talked about him having a big arm.
How big's the window?
Listen, I don't think he'd throw it into the open window.
Are we talking like a Yaris window, or are we talking like a Ford F-150 window? What are we talking about here? I think window size matters.
There's a difference between throwing it in the window and through the window. He would miss the open window on the front, but he would break the back windshield.
So it'd be best to roll up with both the driver's side and back seat window open.
Convertible would be best.
Convertible would be awesome.
Yeah, if you have a convertible.
Flatbed truck.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Or maybe he would just hand, them off, or maybe pitch it.
Pitch it, like a little pitch.
Like he's going down the...
Like a toss sweep.
Yeah, exactly.
Let him go underhand.
That might be the best.
All right.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Streak.
Bring Paxton back just to throw T-shirts into people's windows.
Now that...
would be great.
That would be... It'd be sad, but yet very entertaining at the same point. Yeah, because...
If he would agree to do it, I think it would... Like, for us, if he would agree to do that, then... We could agree to stop the smear campaign.
Yes. Right? That would be fair. Yes. Yeah.
We'll stop the smear campaign if you're the guy that hands out T-shirts for a week.
from KW. This guys, this is now at least the third time you guys have switched positions on Lindsey. You wanted a new running back all last year. You loved the Gordon signing, then hated it, then loved the pair. Now love Lindsey more again. My head is spinning. Oh, I don't know, KW. You're a good listener. You're reliable. You're there every day, but you're misrepresenting me. I wasn't opining for a running back last year, but I did like the Gordon signing. And I do like the idea of the two of them together. I really do. I think it could be very formidable, but yeah, I'm not vacillating at all. You?
I've always liked the Gordon signing from, what have I said from day one about Gordon signing? I have said that Philip Lindsay is dynamic. He runs exceptionally hard between the tackles. He's tough. He does all the things you want him to do. I have said since day one, he's not great in blitz pickup. 190 pounds, doesn't close enough ground, gets run over. Teams consistently attack him in the passing game. And I have said this, that Gordon has shown over the course of his career that he's very good in pass protection, understanding concepts, who he needs to pick up, and being able to do that as a 225, 230-pound back, and then also exceptional catching the ball out of the backfield. So that part has been good. Is he more dynamic than Philip Lindsay? No. Can he break out? Hey, listen, they're both good players. And I've never been a huge Gordon fan. I've never looked at Gordon as, oh my God, there's a top five back in the league. Oh, we got to have Gordon. Like, I've never looked at him that way. I've been consistent on that from day one. And the fact that there's one season where he averaged over 4 yards per carry, right? In 16 games that he played. He's had injury issues and production issues. But he still does some things exceptionally well.
I got to read this one more.
Okay.
Regarding Paxton.
Yes.
Here we go. Could he hit my side dump from Mary the Lady Side Dump Driver?
How about new?
One of those side dumps?
Yeah, side dumps are big now. Now, let me ask you this. Does he have to feather it over the lip
right.
and into the side dump?
Or
is a side dump being straight up?
Or is a side dump?
Is a side dump like when you dump it?
Dump it.
And it's sideways where he's got that whole area.
I think you got to give him the full side dump.
Full side dump.
Asking him to feather it.
Yeah.
Requires touch.
Yeah. I'm going to say.
I go with the full side dump.
Full side dump. He's going to complete 76% of them somewhere in there. If it's up.
Ooh.
I'm going to say 40s. Somewhere in the 40s.
40s. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's good. That's a good question, Mary. Side dump lady.
Yeah, stop by with her side dump.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Coffee slurp number 4, Denver.
You heard that.
Did I hear it? Did I hear it?
I did not.
All of Denver heard it.
It's all right. You're welcome, Denver.
I know. Adrian Dater set to join us here in just a moment. Live from Edmonton. Avalanche, get ready to kick off what I think is going to be at least a Western Conference Finals run.
I like that.
At least, bare minimum.
Okay. Anything less than a Western Conference Finals run is
disappointing.
Disappointing.
It's a yes.
It's a failure.
That's a loss.
Yeah.
So that's the minimum. But I really think this team has what it takes to go to and win the Stanley Cup. I really do. The only big question is what's going to happen in goal, and we'll ask that to Adrian here. What are they going to do? And by the way, I guess the other thing I got to look at real quick here. Let me just look at Benny. Can I get some? While we're waiting for Adrian, can I get a little efforting music here?
I love your efforting music.
Because we learned something about this bubble format. The NHL's nailed it so far. Everything is like zero positive tests. I mean, it's just. And I was watching the Tampa Bay game yesterday, watching it on TV, the sound and everything. It's good. It's really good. They captured the feeling of, you know, you're watching real hockey.
Yeah.
But here's the only problem. You only got the one rink. And that Tampa Bay game went so long that they had to push the Carolina-Boston game that was supposed to come after it to this morning. Because they only got the one rink.
Mm-hmm.
So as you look at what's happening there today, I'm just checking really quickly. I think the Avalanche are the first game, right, out there? Yes, they are. So they do not have to worry about anybody playing before them that could potentially, you know, if the game went into, you know, multiple overtimes and push them back. So they can just focus on the game.
Well, if that happened, then they would have to put the hose, you know, the fire hose between, and they'd have to play short way back and forth like they did in Little League. Yeah, the kid hockey, have you ever watched them divide the ring in thirds? You ever done that?
Yes.
You have? You looked at me like you've never done that.
But I've seen it. I've never done it. I've seen it. All right, our Avalanche insider, Adrian Dater, who's wondering right now, why did I agree to do this with these two, joins us courtesy of Bud Light from his bubble in Edmonton. Good morning, AD.
Good morning, Mike and Mark.
Great to talk to you here. So glad to have you with us. Let's get to the big question right away. Who's going to be in goal today for the Avalanche?
Well, it isn't official, but I do think it's Philip Grubauer. He'll start, you know, that's the plan. It's a pretty short leash he'll be on, though. So, you know, he should be the goalie. No, that's not official, so I'm going to give myself a little bit of an out here. You know, Jared Bednar used to play name the goalie and be okay with that, but he likes to play a little bit of a guessing game still. But all signs point to Grubby.
Is there any controversy there at all? Anything going on with the team as far as they don't trust him? Like you said, short leash. Like, what's it going to take for Philip Grubauer to get bounced early?
Well, it's going to be one bad game, really. I mean, I don't think the team does not trust him, and it's not that case of that. It's just the fact that the other guy had a really good season and had a shutout in his one round-robin game. And I think we're going to see Francois pretty early in the series regardless. There's a back-to-back situation on Friday, Saturday for games 2 and 3. And Jared Bednar has pretty much said that chances are good that he's going to, you know, play alternate goalie there in one of those two games. So, either way, you know, I think if Grubauer comes out and lays an egg today against Arizona, you see Francois for game 2. But even if Grubauer plays well in the first two games, I think you'll still see Francois for game 3 in that scenario. But if he plays poorly today, things could alternate even more. You know, it's a situation where you're going to have to earn your keep as a starting goalie with the Avalanche. They have, you know, Francois has played so well to the point that he's going to be a very, very attractive alternative in case anything goes bad for Philip.
Adrian Dater joined us from the bubble, our Avalanche insider in Edmonton. And Adrian, you've been covering the Avalanche for over 20 years. You know what Stanley Cup winning teams look like. Does this team have that look to you?
You know, first of all, 25 years. Yeah. Not to feel too much older. But I think they do, but, you know, there's still some stuff to prove to me in the sense that they still don't feel like a top team yet. They feel like they're still kind of still a little bit knocking on the door kind of thing. I think that loss to Vegas the other day was like, yeah, and you know, once again with a game for all the marbles in the West, and they kind of come up short at the end. I don't think they feel like they're a championship team just yet. I think that's the difference. I think when they feel like they're like we're the top dog, we're the you know, I don't think they feel that internally. That's why I feel like it might have been actually a good thing that they did lose the other day. I feel like they still need a little bit of an underdog mentality to feel their proper selves, if that makes any sense. they still have never, you know, been past the second round since, geez, what, 2002 or so. So it's still a lot to prove internally. I feel like they've got the pieces, though. They've got the four lines. They've got a pretty good defense. They've got a superstar defenseman coming up, Kale McCarr. They've got the superstar center in McKinnon and a lot of other side pieces in around him. I guess it does come down to, is the goaltending good enough still? There's still no Patrick Waugh here. To me, I guess maybe that's the final piece. And yet, you know, I do think those one of those two guys could be capable of winning as long as the team's good in front of them. But, yeah, I don't know if we have that type of team still yet here. That said, it could happen.
All right, Adrian, man, we appreciate you. Thanks so much for popping on the program. We look forward to watching the game this afternoon.
Hey, my pleasure. 3:30 start?
Yes, 3:30 start.
3:30 start on TV, NBC Sports Network. Everybody can watch it now. Fantastic.
Right. It's blackouts are lifted. Everybody can watch the game. No more bitching about altitude and all that stuff.
That's right. AD, we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
Adrian Dater, our Avalanche insider. Thanks to Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. And okay, so Philip Grubauer, he expects it to be Grubauer. Mm-hmm. Not official yet. Been a lot of back and forth, whether it should be Grubauer or Pavel Francouz. And yeah, what he said is that it's a short leash for Grubauer. He has not yet proven that he can be a number one goalie that can take you deep in the playoffs. He's been in the playoffs. I think this is his sixth go around in the playoffs, but only last year was he ever really counted on being the guy. And while it wasn't just his fault that they didn't get past the second round, he's never been past the second round as a starting goaltender. So there's a lot of questions left to answer whether or not he can be that guy. And the Avalanche like Francouz a lot. So do not be surprised if you see a quick hook for Grubauer if he does not excel right away. And it goes back, and I'm glad Adrian said it, because that's, to me, the biggest hiccup that could face this team. If you had to answer the question, and I'll pose it this way, and folks on the Ramoslaw.com text line can answer it as well at 303-713-1043. Question is, if the Avalanche don't win the Stanley Cup, it'll be because of fill in the blank.
Right. Goaltending.
I think it'll be goaltending.
Yeah. I mean,
and I still question whether or not their defense is good enough in a really, you know, tight 2-1, 1-0 type mm-hmm. game to really be a lockdown defense. But that's a minor point. It's still a goaltending. If they get stellar goaltending, there's no reason they don't go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
How concerning is it to you, Mike, that there is no established, like truly established guy, like this is our guy we're going to hang our hat on? Because normally you come, you know, I think back to those days where it was Waugh, it was Martin Brodeur, you know, it was you just could count on guys.
Right.
You knew guys were going to be between the pipes, and they were kind of the heartbeat of your organization. Like if you didn't play well, you know, Waugh wasn't, like he wouldn't put up with it, right? So, how disconcerting
is that? If you're
going
to win a Stanley Cup, you have to have a goaltender who can not only steal a game or two for you along the way, he might have to steal a series for you.
Right. It'd be like, what would Cowboy DeHuff say about the importance of goaltending?
Oh.
Like, what kind of goaltender you need this time of year?
Oh. Is he in the building? Is he in the building? Is Cowboy DeHuff in the building?
Hi.
Hey, Cowboy DeHuff, what's going on?
Knew?
What a surprise! What does your goaltender need to when your goaltender looks in the mirror? What does he need to see?
Mike Stink, I'm glad you asked me that because it's pretty simple, really. If you're the Colorado Avalanche tonight and you're getting ready for the game against the Coyotes, basically they just need to look up and down and say, am I all balls in my pants? I'm going to say jeans, but...
Yeah, they don't wear jeans.
What do they wear,
they
Mike?
They wear like, you know.
Bloomers, eh?
Yeah, they're almost like bloomers.
Yeah.
Okay, let me reset that then.
Yeah.
As they look up and down their body and they say, am I all balls in these bloomers? If they can say
if they
yes,
can say that.
Right. Hell, man, they're going to win Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
What's your experience, Cowboy DeHuff, with coyotes?
Coyotes, you chickens, okay? That ain't good.
No.
No.
Not good for you or especially the chickens.
Yeah, the chickens.
All right, see you later, Cowboy.
All right. Cowboy had to go.
Had to go fast.
Till some soil.
Till some soil. Bloomers. Are you all balls in them bloomers?
See you later.
All right. Yeah.
There you go.
Pretty much summed it up.
All right. We got a lot to react to. Also, is it time for the Rockies to shake things up in the back of their bullpen? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Apparently,
sorry, guys. I had to get a little water.
Apparently, a lot of you guys want Cowboy DeHuff to be the new
hockey insider.
Hockey insider. Hockey guy.
Oh, yeah. Cowboy DeHuff knows his hockey.
He does know his hockey.
He knows his hockey now.
Yeah, you know what? I never knew what the hockey pants were called.
Yeah.
They do kind of look like bloomers, but you can never call them bloomers.
No, you can't.
Apparently, they're called breezers.
Breezers.
I never knew that.
Remember when they tried to go with the long pants?
I never knew that.
Remember when they tried to go with the long pants?
Yeah. Bad look.
But the breezers.
Breezers.
I wonder how they came up with that name. Because there's nothing breezy about the smell
of anything, any hockey related equipment.
Maybe because you need a stiff breeze to blow out the stench within the breezers.
Please stop.
Let me try mine. Maybe they should call them Febreezers.
Febreezers. I like it.
Because that's what they need to be scented with.
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on.
Okay.
John says, Grubauer needs to play like Mike Vernon did with the Red Wings. Not a premier goaltender, but played well enough for the talent around to lift him. By the way, the Red Wings still suck. Boy, you're talking about a lot. I mean, that Red Wings team had a lot of talent. I mean, that's crazy talent. I don't know if the Avalanche have that kind of talent around Grubauer.
Yeah, boy, those teams were good, weren't they?
So good.
So much fun back in those days when,
well, that's the thing that people forget. You know, everyone talks about the hatred and the animosity and the fights and the bad blood that was spilled and everything. Sometimes you forget the hockey was sublime. The hockey was exceptional. Exceptional. I remember I was living in Dallas, of all places, when the Avs won their first cup. And so, you know, this is summertime in Dallas. And the Avs and Red Wings are playing. And I remember watching it. In Texas, of all places. And I'm just like, oh, my God. This is amazing. And you even had Texas sports fans who, you know, couldn't tell you whether a hockey puck was, you know, stuffed or blown up, whatever. And they were drawn to it.
What were the Dallas Stars like at that time?
And they were good. Well, they were on their way, and they ended up being right there with the Avs and Red Wings. So, yeah, that's why we're lucky around here because we know what it looks like. We know what great, great hockey looks like. And so you can, coffee slurp number six, everybody.
Really?
You've blown past the over under for the day. You took the over at the beginning of the show. Congratulations, you're cashing in. But we know what great, great hockey looks like around here, just like we know what great, great football looks like around here. And that allows us the ability to really feel confident when you're breaking down these kind of teams, to know whether or not they, how far away they are, how close they are, if it's a pipe dream or if it's realistic. And hey, I covered the Avs when they won the cup. I was here for a good chunk of that run, and this team is close.
It's
to be at a Stanley Cup level.
What about defensemen? Because everybody talks about Makar.
Right.
But when I think about the Avalanche, I think about Foote.
Yep.
I think about Rob Blake.
Yep.
I think about your guy, Bork.
The Messiah. Yeah, those teams were just stacked. I mean, it's so tough to put a team like that together today in a salary cap world. That team was just absolutely stacked. Avs were stacked. Red Wings were stacked. It's tough to do that now. But, yeah, I think if you're looking at the where they're undeniably strong, they've got a great top line. They've got a guy in Nathan MacKinnon who I think is this close to joining the big boy table of Waugh, Sakic, and Forsberg. He's not there yet, but he's close. Take this team to a Stanley Cup and be the Conn Smythe Award winner along the way as the playoff MVP.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to do. But that's what we know around here. That's why the bar is set so incredibly high. It's like quarterbacks here. Drew Locke, good luck. John Elway, Peyton Manning, there's your bar. Get to it. Nathan MacKinnon, yeah, you're fantastic. Sakic, Forsberg, Waugh, there's your bar.
Wow.
That's asking a lot, I know.
You know,
but once you've experienced it, once you've seen it, once you know what it looks like, fairly or unfairly, that's where the bar is set.
Right. You know, it's funny how the narrative, like on Jake Plummer, has changed over the years, because the bar you're compared to is John Elway. And then when you go back after the last dozen years or so, and you look at what Jake Plummer was able to do, you're like, wow, Jake Plummer actually played really well.
That wasn't so bad.
Yeah. Your perspective changes to some degree. But yeah, oh yeah. John Elway, Peyton Manning.
Yep.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
That's right. Don't let us down.
Yeah. It's like what's gone on in Miami all these years.
Yep.
Think about it since Marino retired.
Oh. Buffalo, same thing.
Yeah.
Although Josh Allen, I'm sure, will make everybody forget about Jim Kelly.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Fame 5.
Mm-hmm.
Hall of Fame 5.
Mm-hmm.
Him. Baker Mayfield.
We got a Jackson 5!
Rosen.
Mr. Mono himself, Darnold.
Darnold.
Throwing in the rain.
Yeah.
Hat on backwards.
Maybe that's how he got mono.
Probably.
Probably contracted mono then, held on to it for several months.
Not sure that was smart on his part.
No. You know what you need to do right after that throwing session? Eat some Vicks.
What's Josh Rosen up to these days, you think?
That's a great question. He's still with Miami, right?
Still with the Dolphins, right?
Backing up Tua. And
Fitzpatrick. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
From Hall of Fame 5 to 13.
What's going on?
You gotta stop this, because now I know exactly what's gonna start at 3:00 today.
Mm-hmm.
Whole monologue. Directed at me.
Right.
And you started it. It's your fault.
Sorry.
You started it.
Yeah, I didn't
mean to. Sorry.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah.
Sorry.
Look at you, wedge driver.
You actually kind of...
Learning from me.
You kind of started it when you said Jim Kelly, but Josh Allen...
That's true, good point.
Kinda,
yeah, you're right.
You kind of got me going down the road.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know I'm not mature enough to...
To stop.
To not go down the road
right.
Once you've gone down the road.
Once I open up the top of that rabbit hole, down you go.
Right. You're like... Hey, should we turn left? I'm like, sure, let's turn left.
This looks fun.
Yeah. What's down there?
Okay. What's next? for college football. We got to make sense of where we're at and where this thing is going. Plus the impact it'll have on the NFL as you NFL fans look at it. That's all coming up next.
All right, Mark, where does... Just what's your overall view of what's happening right now with college football? Well, open-ended question, I know, but just let's just start there.
All right. So, I mean, ultimately, Mike, I mean, you can sit there and tell me, okay, there's a couple things that I wish you'd just come out and say. For me personally, like, you don't need to lie to me. I understand that 40 million people or so went on unemployment. I understand that, you know, companies are going to make money. And the easiest way to cut costs when things are tight is people. Right. I've always looked at big time business. They're going to make their 12-15% a year. And the easiest place to save money is, you know, giving somebody extra title, cutting three people and giving you the job of three people. Go do the job of three people. I'll give you this extra title, but no more money. Like, that's what corporations do, right? That's how they make money. The thing that I don't buy into the pageantry of college football. It is a billion-dollar institution. And right now, many of these institutions feel like, in my mind, they don't want to operate at a huge loss. And so they have made a decision not to play the college football season. You cannot tell me that safety is your top priority for these student athletes, and that's why you're canceling the football season. And in the same breath, say, we're going to play this spring. And then what? Take 3 weeks off and then we're going to start up our fall season? I mean, stop it. A bunch of fat cats in suits that have never played. That has nothing to do with safety. That's about money.
Okay, then if it's all about money, and we had this conversation yesterday, and we both agreed that money, if you're divvying up the pie as to the different reasons why college football, why a conference would shut down, we both agreed wholeheartedly that money would take up the biggest slice of that pie. So then how does that explain these other conferences willing to play on?
Well, some conferences are willing to lose money. I mean, they have their television rights. And in the South and the SEC, I wouldn't be surprised if they say, hey, we're open for business. Just make sure you wear your mask. Everybody's going to be okay. Like, they're going to do what they're going to do. I don't know exactly what their plan is. But I think football is so important to them. And that, I mean, let's face it. SEC country, it's SEC football and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's by far. Right.
SEC football, then there's life.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, it's a religion. I mean, it really is. It's, you're right. And they cannot fathom an existence that does not include college football. So they're prepared. They'll lose money. They don't care. Okay.
Yeah. And we'll make it back. We've got the, I mean, we'll be fine.
And that's the same thinking with the Big 12 then, right?
I think so.
See, that's why I agree with you, but that's why the ACC continuing to play really would surprise me, because you've got a lot of schools in that conference where, quite frankly, football is not
right.
That important. It's not king. It's not religion. My alma mater's in the ACC. I can tell you unequivocally, they don't feel that strongly about football in Syracuse or at Boston College or at Pitt
or at
North Carolina.
Okay. I will say this about Pitt or Syracuse
or Virginia.
From a budget standpoint, it's not like Ohio State. It's not like Michigan. Their budgets are not like the budgets of those schools, right? So in the overall scheme of things, are you losing money? Yes. How much are you losing? What is the conference willing to do to keep you afloat? I think that comes into play. You know, do you get a little bit extra stipend in the TV? I don't know exactly how that works, how fungible that money is. If that's the right word, but like, I just think that there are these conferences, three of the Big Five conferences, there's three that are pretty committed to playing. And, you know, and you and I talked about this as well. I mean, you're going to sit there in the WAC, and I know they're not one of the big five, but you're going to sit there in the WAC and cancel football because it's not safe enough for your football players, right? But you're going to let your students go to school?
Yeah, that's the hypocrisy of this. I'm sorry, that just is. And
I mean, you want to talk about being liable? So you're saying that we cancel. So I'm no lawyer. You know, if there's any lawyers, you can text us. But okay, so here would be my point. If my kid goes to school there and gets sick, and God forbid something tragic happens, and I'm saying, so wait, CSU or wait, Mountain West, you said that it's not safe enough for the college football players to play football, who are getting tested twice a week, who are living in this kind of quote unquote football bubble, who are being sanitized and really watched over. But it was okay for my student to go to school and be in a dorm room and shove themselves into a classroom with 40 other people. That's okay, but the football players can't play.
Yeah, I would support what the Big Ten and Pac-12 is doing a heck of a lot more if you told me all of their campuses were closed. Then I'd be like, okay, I get it. Sure. You're consistent throughout.
Right.
But this,
how many of those campuses, do you know how many campuses are closed?
Off the top of my head, I don't think any. So what are you, definitely in the Big Ten, so what message are you delivering here?
No, the football
that it
players
is all about money and liability, right, and worrying about players unionizing and things like that. But don't tell me it's about safety. It's a little bit, but
sure,
it's not what's driving this.
Well, you can't tell me it's about player safety and then say we're going to have a spring season. I mean,
right.
Well, first off, the fact that you're throwing out that we're going to have a spring season,
they're not going to have a spring
is
season.
Baloney.
They're not going to play in the
There's
spring.
No way. There is no way.
They're not going to play in the spring.
They're playing in the spring. Oh, by the way, what kind of TV packages are you going to create
exactly
in the spring when you're competing with Major League Baseball and you're competing with, hey, the NBA is getting ready to ramp up their playoffs and National Hockey League. Like, where are you going to find space?
Right.
Can they bring back Versus? You know, where hockey went after they couldn't hammer out a deal with ESPN and we, you know.
And I'm going to be locked into Pac-12 football. With what? I mean, are you going to have a tournament at the end of your season? Are you what? You're just going to play these games and crown a regular season champion, and that's supposed to be enough for me to be, you know, drawn to that all season long? No bowl games, no college football championship. I mean, you're playing 9 games inside your conference, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to really grab me?
Yeah.
No, there will not be spring football.
We're going to put you in an oxygen tent after the spring football for 2 weeks, then you're ready to go.
It will not be spring football.
We'll have a cryovac machine, you know?
I get why they're doing it. I get why they're saying, hey, yeah, we still plan on playing in the spring.
You can't. They won't play in the spring. You can't play. You play can't pull the, that right off.
And I think that's why. I think the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 understand that as well, which is why they're trying so hard, and they're going to give themselves as much time as possible to see if they can make it work in the fall, because they understand.
Let me tell you this.
Realistically, it's just not going to work in the spring.
Let me tell you one thing about football from a travel standpoint. You know, we keep talking about the bubble and how the bubble works and how travel and the concern about baseball. And like the teams that have taken quarantine and taking the virus seriously, I think have been pretty good, right? The baseball teams. One thing about football that gives them an advantage, guys are used to going on the road, Mike, and being supervised. Guys are used to going on the road and not having any free time. Walking into the hotel, dropping off their bags, and going to a meeting. Not being allowed out of the hotel. Like, baseball players are different. Like, woohoo, we got free day, you know? I mean, it's a different lifestyle, and they're learning how to deal with that. But I think most of the teams have taken it seriously and are doing pretty well.
We shall see what happens today, what new news comes down. Keep it here all day long as we get set for Game 1, Avalanche and Coyotes at 3:30. Can watch it on NBC Sports Network, and we'll break it all down coming up tomorrow along with the Nuggets and the Rockies. Okay, Sandy and Orlando coming your way next.
I tell you what, one of the best shows in Denver, Colorado, coming up right now. Next, it's Sandy and the Big O. Diggity's on that cigar, Big O.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.